Hello. We're working our way through Jesus' epic Sermon on the Mount. We've just taken 4 months to work our way through Matthew chapter 5. So much content. Well, today we have reached the dizzy heights of, wait for it, yes, Matthew chapter 6. It's also been over 7 months since the lockdown first kicked in. And this weekend, we're again facing uncertainty. Here in Birmingham, we're wondering, are we finally entering into tier 3? Or is a national lockdown about to overtake us? But spare a thought for those who work in the arts, the media, the entertainment industries. We've got people in our growing community who do just that, working for the CBSO or for a London theatre and so forth. Many concert venues have been closed for many months. Those that have reopened have found themselves opening to much smaller capacities, much smaller audiences. At what point does a venue become uneconomic? At what point is an audience too small to be viable? When should the final curtain close on these venues? Now, of course, we need the arts. They help us explore life. They help tell stories. They help us gain a different perspective on reality. Do you know, I get the odd person asking me if the church is in the same predicament. And for sure, these are challenging times. We're all having to adapt to do things, to be things in a very different kind of way. And yes, we as a church have a church building on the Chester Road. You'll find it, a big religious looking building with a tall pointed roof by the crossroads. You can't miss it. But actually, right here, right now, you and I are not in that building, but we are still very much church together, wherever we are. We don't need that particular building in order to be church. That's because church never was, never is a building. It's the growing community of faith, the body of Christ alive and at work. And what's more, for us, it's all about an audience of one. About God himself. It's ultimately about God and who he has made us to be and what he has wired us to do. So when you and I worship, yes, it's great to sing songs. They lift our spirits. That's good. And it's great to be able to sing to encourage others. And it does. But ultimately, when you and I sing our songs, actually, these aren't just songs and tunes. We are bringing worship. And we are bringing worship not just to the four walls in the room that we're in, but to the living God, the creator of all things, of heaven and earth. And he's right here, right now with us. And in his presence, oh my goodness, we worship him and we praise him for an audience of one. During November, we're going to think more about this audience of one and what responses that calls from us. Jesus begins by taking on an easy one. He starts with giving. So here's where we're going with this. Giving is something we can all do and should do, whatever our religious outlook or our spirituality. Just do it for an audience of one. Don't give to impress others. You'll come across vulgar and shallow. Give because you can. Give because it's good to do something good with money. Give because you are made in the image of the generous God. Now, giving is actually something we as a church here are starting to get a little bit better at. And it's wonderful. It's a sign of spiritual health in our church community. But giving is not about fundraising. It's not about sponsor me to do something I always wanted to do anyway. That's not giving. Giving is also not especially a finance matter. It's principally a discipleship matter. It's what you do in response to Christ and what you see him doing. It's about surrendering all we have to him. Whole life discipleship, not just what we attend or consume on a Sunday. It's about living by faith, not by sight. So Jesus begins and he says at the beginning, when you give. He doesn't say if you give, he says when you give. Do you know, it never actually occurred to him that people wouldn't give or that people don't give. He just assumed when you give. Because giving was so routine, so much part of that life, particularly in Judaism. There, it was not just humanitarian, it was also spiritual in nature. When they reaped the harvest, people gave a percentage as first fruits. It was a way of expressing gratitude for the harvest and to God, the creator of the sun, the rain, and the land that all helped to nourish it. Rather than moan or kind of resent the tithe, which means tenth, that they would give away, instead they rejoiced over the 90%. Better to have 90% of abundance than 100% of famine. So people gave so that no one would be left out or excluded. You see, not everybody was blessed in the same way. Some had plenty, more than they needed, others had less than they needed. To avoid the big festivals becoming the privilege of the few, all would give so that everybody could participate, whatever their financial circumstances. So people have always given, been generous. I guess it's an instinctive response within our humanity. I'd say it's the way we were wired by God. So Jesus said, when you give, don't announce it with trumpet or gazoos. You see, some were making such a show of their giving, literally. They were acting the part of being generous people when really inside they were mean-spirited, ungenerous. Like a stage actor plays a part of a person that they are not when they pretend to be something that they aren't. You see, that word that we get hypocrisy or hypocrite from in the Greek meant a play actor. People who are pretending to be something that they aren't. And Jesus was calling out the hypocrites, those who were pretending to be generous but actually weren't. Hypocrites, he called them. Strong, isn't it? In fact, Jesus called people hypocrites 12 times in Matthew's gospel. Maybe that's 12 times, once for each of the tribes of Israel, once each for the 12 disciples. That also means enough for us too to be included within that. Just imagine you're selling the big issue. Maybe you were born into a very different set of circumstances and not of your choosing. Maybe actually life has just turned out very different to how you expected, and suddenly circumstances beyond your control have taken over, and now you found yourself selling the big issue. Someone pulls up in a high value car and they strut over to you, and in a very loud and visible manner, they make a big issue of buying your copy of the big issue. They're doing it for the attention of the crowd. They're doing it because they want to feel good about what they've just done, but they're especially doing it because they want other people to think they're being good about what they're doing. They're not doing it because they want to read the big issue, and they're not actually doing it because they want to support you. It's all about them and their needs, not about you and your needs. Now, many words for them might come to mind, but hypocrite is the one that we can say on camera. Jesus said, when you give, don't make a show of it like the hypocrites do in their synagogues or on the streets. In other words, giving is for all, whether you're religious or not. And by the way, hypocrisy, hypocrites, well, they exist both in and outside of the church. Don't use that as an excuse to avoid what God is calling you to be and to do. Instead, Jesus said, when you give, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Now, clearly Jesus is using some hyperbole, some exaggerated language to make his point. You see, no form of giving is possible without the different body parts being involved. You know, if I want to put some money in a tin, I have to put my hand in my pocket and different parts of my body are all involved. Jesus was saying, when you give, do it for an audience of one, God. Don't give to make yourself feel proud. Don't give to inflate your own ego. Don't give to make you feel more superior than others. Don't get me wrong. There's joy in giving. I mean, Paul says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. There's joy, there's hilarity in giving. It's releasing. But just do it for an audience of one. For God who sees what others can't. Your motive, your heart. Verse 4 it says, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Some get a little sidetracked by this, what is done in secret. They worry that it doesn't count if others become aware of your giving. But don't forget, in Matthew chapter 5, remember those months, Jesus also said, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. Why? So that they may praise your Father in heaven. It's very hard to give without anyone else knowing. I mean, in modern life today, when you make a gift, gifts have to be received, counted, and accounted for. The church bank statement has to be reconciled. Gift aid has to be justified and then claimed. And problems arise when organizations get secretive about their finances. Jesus was simply saying, don't be motivated by the applause of others. Give for an audience of one. Check your motive. Maybe our preoccupation with what is done in secret is we're embarrassed about money. We're embarrassed about the giving. Jesus was absolutely not embarrassed about money or about giving. He was very open and upfront about it. And we need to be as well. Maybe we've become a bit preoccupied with what others will think about us. And that's why we prefer to emphasize the secret bit. When it's for an audience of one, actually, it doesn't matter what others think. There's no need to be secretive or embarrassed. All that matters is that God knows and he sees all things. Giving comes out of our relationship with God. It's in our response to God. We who have received so much from God, well, we don't hold on to what he has blessed us with. We hold it lightly, knowing that we are stewards of his wealth. It's not ours. When we give, we are simply releasing what was never ours in the first place, so that God can continue to bless others in the way that he has already blessed us. We're only holding it on because it's God's. We're releasing what is God's. We give because it's a God thing, a spiritual discipline, and we give out of joy. So what's your next step? Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So, maybe now's the time to make your first one-off gift. Maybe you've been connecting with us over a period of time, and actually now's the moment where you feel is the moment to make your gift. Well, you can do that, and you can do it now. Simply go to chesterroadbaptist.org.uk/give. You can make that spontaneous gift, now or anytime. Maybe you've already done that. Maybe for you, it's to start giving on a regular basis. A good way to do that is to set up a standing order. Again, you can find that at our website, /give. Maybe you're already doing that. Maybe for you, the invitation and the challenge is actually to start giving a percentage of your income, to be intentional about how much you are giving. Many tithe, others are working towards that. You need to decide for yourself what you think is the right thing to do. Already doing that? Well, maybe for a few of you, it's to go further. It's for you, it's about sacrificial giving. God blesses us with many gifts. One spiritual gift is the spiritual gift of giving. And some of you are blessed with that. Do you know, when the early church was just getting going and its mission and ministry was starting to take shape, Barnabas, nicknamed the Encourager, came and he sold a piece of land, a property, and made that available to fund, to fuel the church's ministry. Maybe for you, maybe that's it. Maybe it's even about your legacy, what you leave afterwards through your will. Again, you can find information on our website. Whatever, however, each of you, each of us and me should simply give what we have decided in our heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's for an audience of one, Him. It's not about us. We are simply handing back to God what He has already blessed us with. Let's make ourselves open and available to Him. Access all areas of our lives for an audience of one. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you that you have given everything. For God so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting, eternal life. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity, your generosity of spirit, that you bless us not in small measures, not in the micro, not in the mean-spirited measure, but in an abundance, an overflowing. Lord God, send your Holy Spirit again, that we might be filled to overflowing with your Spirit. Come. Thank you, Lord, that we are made in your image. Lord, release in us too that gift of generosity, that spirit that wants to bless, to give. Teach us, lead us in the discipline of giving. Give us wisdom, give us faith, give us vision, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.